A Prey to Murder, written by Anne Cleves, read by Sean Barrett. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. The hotel seemed to be run exclusively by women, but that was an illusion. The most practical and necessary work was done by a man, but the women were so loud and busy that Richard Mead was never noticed. There were three generations of women at Gorse Hill. Eleanor Masefield had been brought up there and lived there with her husband until he died. She was then in late middle age, and he had left her with very little money. She could have sold the house, bought a convenient bungalow somewhere pleasant, and lived comfortably on the remainder of the profit. Instead, she chose to stay at Gorse Hill and turn it into a hotel. "It's my duty to stay," she told her daughter, without explaining exactly what she meant. It was not that she had a special affection for the house. She would have considered such feelings foolish. She felt that she contributed to the town simply by being there. If she were to move, Sarn would never be the same. Something valuable would have been lost. In fact, she stayed through a kind of laziness. To move from Sarn would mean meeting new people, going to a different church, explaining who she was. Here, her identity was already established. Veronica, her only child, was the noisiest, most obtrusive woman in the house. She had none of her mother's calm and dignity. She chattered incessantly to the guests. They all knew her, and Eleanor thought they tried to avoid her. The same stories were repeated year after year. Eleanor despised her daughter's weakness. She always seemed to be tired. She volunteered for too many committees, the playgroup, the Sunday school, Meals on Wheels. All, it seemed, depended on her. But she did nothing well. In her late 30s, Veronica had the sweet, enthusiastic face of a girl. Occasionally, her absent-mindedness became so acute that Eleanor wondered if she were mentally ill. Eleanor had discussed the matter with Richard, Veronica's husband, but he had said that she made Veronica nervous and that if she were not so critical, the problem would disappear. While Eleanor would have been pleased to believe she had such power over her daughter, that idea seemed to her to be ridiculous. Then there were the girls, Veronica's daughters. Helen was 17 and Frances 13. Helen was shy, eager to please. Although she was immature for her age, the adults left her to herself. She helped in the dining room in the evenings. Otherwise, no one cared much where she was. Frances was dark, brooding, and overweight. The family called her Fanny, which she hated. She knew her friends sniggered when they heard the name, and when they used it at school, it was like an obscenity. Her only passion was her hatred of her grandmother. Until they had moved into Gorse Hill 5 years before to help run the hotel, she had been spoilt, doted on. Eleanor had pronounced her ill-disciplined and untidy. She had forced a regime of routine bedtimes, set mealtimes, and limited television. Fanny had cried for the lost freedom, then became stubborn and willful. To compensate for the grandmother's strictness, her parents had spoilt her even more, helping her to defy Eleanor's rules, bringing her secret treats. Fanny learned to manipulate them all, and in a sense, her moods ruled the household. So Gorse Hill had the air of an entirely feminine institution, like an old-fashioned girls' school or a nursing home, and Eleanor ruled it with a severe and charming authority. Sarn had been George Palmer Jones's home for the first 18 years of his life. As a boy, he had never mixed socially with the family at Gorse Hill, though he and Eleanor were almost contemporaries. He came from a respectable business family in the town. His father was a solicitor, and Gorse Hill, with its parties and connections with the outside world, seemed very grand and exotic. Nevertheless, he and his wife Molly had been guests at the house before it became a hotel. George had known Eleanor's husband. They were both reputable ornithologists. George was an amateur whose first commitment was to his work as a Home Office civil servant. Stuart Masefield was a professional, an academic, who in later life had given up his post with the Research Council to write books on raptors. George had never liked the man and had been embarrassed by the effusive greeting he received every time they met, the pressing invitations to stay